DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Bryce.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you.
Samantha.
I am gonna have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
Sex in caves and ear fucking is totally fine.
You can't have sex in caves?
That is officially a law. It's on the books. Yeah.
But grottos are fine.
Grottos are fine.
What about an overhang?
It depends.
Gray zone?
It can't be between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. So if it's daylight, fuck it out.
On every other day?
Yeah.
All right.
Second Thursdays.
This is the first time we've been in the room together in like a month. We've all been like super busy.
Yeah.
Especially you, Jim.
Yeah, I quit my old job. I got a new job.
Glory.
I wanted it to be such, man. I wanted to go in. I had this speech in my head. I was gonna just like lay into
set
my boss.
Off fireworks.
Yeah, set fire to like desks and shit. Like
start a riot.
Shit in like someone's lunch. Just like I wanted to make it memorable, and my boss refused to come out and talk to me. I could hear his office door was open. They had to go into his office to get my file to verify that I was returning everything that I needed to return. And I heard him yakking in there on the phone to somebody about nothing important. He knew because as soon as I called my supervisor, I was on my way to quit. I let her know I'm just like, listen, I'm sorry. I didn't give you any more time than this, but I got another job offer and I'm going over now to quit. And so she's like, all right. And she's like 22. So this is like her first managerial position. And they kind of threw her into this job with no training, with no real support. And then they would browbeat
Sounds
her
like
when
almost
things...
almost every company ever.
Yeah. Give you a promotion, a pittance of a raise, and then browbeat you when you don't automatically have everything downloaded like the Matrix into your brain on how to do the job properly.
Yeah.
So, but anyway...
My wife is back there just agreeing with everything. Mm-hmm.
Did not tell you because I told you.
What did I tell you?
What did I tell you? But, yeah, so I felt bad for her. And she immediately, as soon as they hung up with her, she called Jack and basically let him know. So he knew, he had the heads up that I was coming in to quit. And
you can't say you didn't know Jack.
Yeah. sniper. Reload!
Did you hear that one coming?
No, I didn't. No, you never hear the one with your name on it. That was like American Snipers. That was like 2 miles out.
Yep.
But I was going to go in there and, Jack, if he was going to be like, so why are you deciding to leave us? I'm like, well, because I'm tired of working for a two-faced troll of a man who's so condescending. And you know what? I am legitimately sorry that God decided to make you just tall enough to suck my dick. But here's the thing. Fuck you and this fucking job. And congratulations on running this company into the ground. The guy that had Jack's job before Jack did was this guy by the name of Mitch. And Mitch was rad. Mitch kind of looked like he belonged either in a Lord of the Rings or possibly like a Renaissance fair somewhere, like sitting on a stump with a big grog of mead and just like kicking it and like telling kids stories and stuff. He looked kind of offsetting, but like when you got to know him, he was a sweetheart. But more importantly, he gave a shit about the employees and he fought for them when the people above him were trying to give him, you know, like decrees on how they should be doing stuff. He's like, no, absolutely not. That's not fair. So when he passed away, that left a huge hole, and then they filled it with that piece of shit. And since then, it's been a steady march out the door. People, like legitimately good people that liked their job before, could not take it underneath his regime, and they just left. So I wanted to let him know that that was the reason why, and we would not face me.
Maybe he was afraid of your Hadouken.
Well, I did have a lot of...
You are well known for a good fireball right before you leave the door.
Well, I eat a lot of Indian food, and... a windy stomach, I believe, is the actual medical prognosis.
Well, really quick, you celebrated a birthday this week, and we could not let it go
unpunished.
Unpunished.
Thank God. Yeah, because as we all know...
How dare you be
turning
born.
Oh, no. Is this bottled water?
Yes, it is.
It sounds like it fits. Oh, see, if this is intervention in a bottle...
Yeah, yeah.
It's empty.
It's my brand! Oh, you guys. See, now I'm not going to cry in the shower. I'm not going to do it. I'll cry before the shower, and then I can wash the tears off. Sometimes I forget. Thank you, guys. You always know what I want, and that's
and
just
that
to be numb.
You can take home.
Oh, sweet. I'll just drink it on the way. You know, maybe stop off, have a couple beers, run over some children. Fucking have a good time. Have a good simpler times.
Good old Pennsylvania time.
It's funny because I never actually drank and drove when I lived in PA. When I moved out here.
Came to Oregon to do that.
Well, I don't want to hit somebody I know. I mean, I'm going to move out to a bunch of strangers. It's
some shithole.
It's a victimless crime, really. But
fucking liberals.
No, I
this is what you get.
You don't want to pick a side? I'll pick a side. I'll go into your lane.
The Kraken.
He's kind of changed his tune now that weed is legal. Like, well, we did something.
Right. I'm going to write a blog about how pissed I am. But no, I found out that Malia's dad, you know, back when he used to live here in Portland, drank and drove like just no. He called them road sodas. Just grab a couple road sodas and just be driving down the street. No paper bag, no koozie, no nothing. Just like sucking down like a pounder of Rainier. And I'm just like, that's...
Back in the day, that was not too frowned upon.
Yeah. They're just like, just don't go too fast.
No,
you might spill
I've noticed
something.
Since Jim's been in town, they've really enforced those laws now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still trying to find me.
I was going to say, they're still trying to catch him.
I'm the Knight Rider. Catch me if you can.
He's got that souped up rascal outside.
He'll do 0 to 60 if you push it off a cliff. Tie a rock to it. These are your options. Yeah, pray. Big hill. Big hill.
Grand Canyon?
Yeah. It doesn't get much grander.
Yeah. So last week you missed, Bryson and I sat down. We talked Star Wars and some of the conspiracy theories.
Do you talk about, like, because I know there's that weird, like, roly-poly R2 unit that looks like
BB-8.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the conspiracy that I saw online where actually that's the bastard child of the Death Star and R2-D2? Because you remember he puts his thing in there.
Port,
yeah. Twice,
yeah.
Yeah. Both holes. So, obviously, it's not outside that realm of possibility, you know? Who are we to stand in the way?
We came up with one, and I've mentioned it to a couple of people, and they really like the theory. And the theory that we came up with is that Kylo Ren is either a clone of Anakin or the Emperor.
You don't think it's Luke?
No.
Really?
I've seen some unconfirmed things that pretty much say...
Seen some unconfirmed things?
Some things. Let's say merchandising items that... Would if they are confirmed, means that Kylo Ren is not Luke.
All right. Well, I did actually kind of like the idea that Luke would be a bad guy. Like, I kind of...
There
like,
is
I, yeah.
still the potential yeah. that he could have been flirting with the dark side, but I don't
Because in the books...
There's still the potential that he's the one behind Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
So he could maybe he could be the new emperor.
Yeah.
And Kylo Ren could be like his little like toady guy that he sends out and like, you know, go kill some bothans.
I really don't think that's the case. I actually, my favorite theory is that Kylo Ren is in fact a clone of Anakin Skywalker, and mm-hmm. he's kept Luke in captivity, trying to get Luke to teach him more about the Force.
Ooh. I like the way your brain bits work, son.
Sometimes it's on top of stuff.
You know, now, okay, so obviously this is all set in the future. Now, I don't know much about, aside from the trailers that I've seen, I haven't done a lot of digging.
That's good.
Mostly because I want it to be a genuine surprise when I see the movie for the first time on Netflix 7 years from now. Oh, I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to pick up my...
We're working, so the three of us...
Are you kidding? It's Disney.
We've got to figure it out because I really want the three of us to go see it together the first time.
You're going to sit in the theater with me again.
We're going to put you in the back row,
just like
with a ball gag.
I can grunt. Rather
zip ties a ball gag and a sign that says "No, I'm fine."
Yeah.
Oh, so there's a second date kind of a thing. I'm down for that. Yeah, honestly, I want it all to be as organic an experience as necessary. Now, obviously, there's a lot to be absorbed from these trailers that we've seen so far. Obviously, the main male lead is like some turncoat stormtrooper, and what we believe to be, was it Han and Luke's, or is it Han and Luke? Yeah. they had a daughter. Hey, it's a galaxy far, far away, okay? So the Republicans have no reach there.
They can adopt.
Yeah. We've got a decision, you guys. We're all hanging out in the Ewok tree fort, and like, we spent a lot of time in the woods, and we've decided to adopt this little girl that we found underneath a cabbage patch. But Han and Leia's daughter, I believe, is the female.
We came up with the theory that it's Luke's daughter.
I really think.
I don't think it's Han.
Luke fuck Leia.
No,
dude, that's sick.
No, we.
I mean, it's far, far away.
I know it's still hot, but it's sick.
The idea that we have is that
it's a southern galaxy.
Luke tried to.
Hey, y'all.
You ever see a space banjo before?
His daughter cousin.
That's called Jar Jar Binks.
Squeal like a nibbler. Squeal like a nibbler.
Oh, me so horny.
Annie.
Okay, if
he
ever.
He got to him young. Oh, if, he got to him young.
Yeah. The some diddles cannot be undiddled.
Once you go Gungan, you pretty much put a blaster to your temple.
Well, it's better than a you know.
No,
a,
you just fall into a volcano.
No, so the Jar Jar Binks thing, is that officially the him being scrubbed from the storyline? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen a couple of different people that have actually come out in defense of Jar Jar.
Well, that was one of the things we talked about last week. There's a prevailing theory that Jar Jar is actually in cahoots with Palpatine.
Yeah.
Well, it was a really interesting. We kind of broke it down. Yeah,
it had some good points.
Yeah, I was listening to Pandora, and I have like a bunch of comedy channels on there. And this one guy, I'd never heard of him before, but he had this hilarious bit about how, like, if you think about it, you know, we start off with Jar Jar, and he's like this bumbling idiot. And then the second one, he's like a senator, kind of. And then the third one, he is directly responsible for the sling of all the baby Jedi and all this stuff. And so he's like, I'd love to see, like, in the next movie, like, just a war tribunal, and they bring up Jar Jar on, like, war crimes against humanity. And they're like,
shoot
okay,
him out an airlock.
Before my sentence is carried out and I'm placed, the Rancor Beast mounts me from behind.
He just lightnings the whole tribunal.
He's like, I just want to let everybody know, on my home planet, the trains always ran on time. That's the most important. And I'm like, I think I was on the bus somewhere.
Was
I was just laughing.
Minimal traffic.
Minimal traffic. We were like a Swiss fucking watch over there. But yeah,
there was a land speeder in every garage,
a Gungan in every pot. it was a delicious time to be alive. But
there were snozzberries in every pot and a land speeder in every driveway.
Blue milk was just coming out of the woodwork. You didn't have to moisture farm; it would fall out of the goddamn sky.
Be this on your heads.
Yeah, but no, I think that it's wise to get rid of Jar Jar because, yeah, and that whole thing with all the stereotypical, you know, see, we've got like the flying Jew that runs the slavery ring. We've got the obviously, I am not Asian, but I talk like I am in some bad World War II movie where I am a general.
Now there are two of us.
I always kind of thought that the co-pilot at the end of Jedi with Lando, I thought that he was kind of Asian, but then I couldn't quite put my finger. But he didn't sound or act Asian in any way. He flew fantastically, so you can't really put that stereotype on him.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't level that.
No. So I don't know. Yeah, but definitely some of the other characters need to be expunged if the franchise is going to move forward. Everything that I've seen with like the practical effects and like I have watched a little bit of the additional footage and stuff that they put out there.
I watched, and I was really, really afraid to do this because I didn't want anything to be given away. Mm-hmm. But I watched a video on YouTube of Celebration, and J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy were there with a bunch of the cast. And thankfully, they were still like keeping everything silent.
Oh, without doubt.
It was actually when they released the second teaser trailer, because those people got to see it before, you know, the internet. So that was pretty cool. But they asked about why practical effects, and JJ said because that's what made
exactly
the originals so great. Yeah. And I wanted people who are watching this to feel like they were there.
Yeah.
So we did as much practical as humanly possible, which was quite a lot. So when people are acting and reacting to stuff around them, it's because they are immersed in this world.
Shit's blowing
up. They don't
up.
Have to imagine being in the Millennium Falcon because they were in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
You know? So, and to me, that's like, that really says a lot.
Yeah.
It helps with the acting because you don't have to try and play it up with nothing in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's,
you have,
you're not standing
the
in a
set to work off of.
You're sitting in a green room and there's a dot on a stick. Like, okay, this is going to be a monster. Act like you're scared. Like, no, I want that motherfucker coming at me.
Yeah.
You know, so, and the thing too is the people that are building these practical effects and these sets are all people from an era where they grew up with the original trilogy.
Yep.
They loved it and they wanted to get back to that, and to be given that opportunity must be like, I'm going to give you this gold-plated winning lottery ticket that's also, you know, good for a lifetime's worth of free cocaine. Like, there's nothing bad about this opportunity.
There's absolutely no reason movies can't be made with practical and CGI. And
agreed. I think
Star Wars is going to be the first one. Well, not even Star Wars, because he was doing it on Star Trek.
Yeah.
I mean, they were building a lot of practical effects, but it's more prevalent, I think, in Star Wars, because they're going out to these places, they're building the backgrounds and the sets and everything, and even the costumes and the masks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And technology has come so far from, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, when Lucas was trying to make masks perform and emote.
Yeah.
You know, they've gotten it down to a science now. So a lot of these masks that we're going to see people wearing and moving and stuff, they're going to be a lot better. And I think they'll probably use CGI to clean up some stuff, but I don't think it's going to be as glaring as the prequel trilogy.
It's going to be like a makeup, as like a concealer for the most part. It's not going to be like the meat and potatoes of the scene that you're looking at.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, as great as those effects are nowadays, they still stand out because we know the difference. And there's part of us that still loves the idea of looking at a guy in a giant rubber suit, you know, looking at a Ninja Turtle that can blink and, like, you know, has human teeth for some mysterious reason. I don't understand that either. But, you know, when you can take the best of both of those worlds and put them together and create this universe, what we've been waiting for years. I remember people for decades were like, there's never going to be any other Star Wars movies. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, the main stars are going to die off and we're going to be screwed and it's just not going to ever happen. And, you know, you throw enough money at people long enough and threaten their families, and sure enough, sooner or later, that door's going to open.
I saw this thing about Mark Hamill was talking about being pitched.
Yeah.
And I guess George Lucas called him and invited him to lunch. And he got there.
Yes. Whatever. Yes. Yes.
Well, this
how
is,
many times? Yes.
Well, this is funny because Mark had pretty much decided that there's not going to be another Star Wars. He wasn't in the prequels. He pretty much figured, like we did, that it was done.
Yeah.
Kind of let himself go.
So he gets there and he sits down and Carrie Fisher's there. Ooh. And George is there with Kathleen Kennedy. And George says, okay, I'm retiring. I'm handing over Lucasfilm to Kathleen. And Mark's like, well, why are you taking us out to lunch to tell us this?
I have one more meal voucher from the Star Wars days. I'm slapping it down at this Olive Garden. So,
well, and then what he says is like, so I'm turning over the reins. By the way, they want to make a new Star Wars trilogy. Would you be interested? And Mark says, Carrie, without missing a beat, went, I'm in. and Mark goes, I knew I was a good actor because I was keeping my face stoic, going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And inside I was going, yes!
You can't not want to do that again.
No, you
create it.
You were a cornerstone of that.
Even if you're only in one of the three of the next trilogy.
Yeah. Like Young Guns 2, where John Bon Jovi's in it for like 3 seconds, where he comes up out of a pit and immediately gets shot and killed. No.
You know inside he's just like, yes! I'm was relevant!
Let's rewind that one more time. There we go. oh God. Thank you. Richie Sambora just jerking off John Bon Jovi. Oh, God.
Really? Again? Come on.
This steel horse is really getting ridden hard, put away away. But no.
Steel horse is getting rusty.
Oh, Jesus.
That's because that metal rod they put in there to keep it up is...
But, But, oh, God. All right, let's scrub that image out. All right, nope, not coming clean. To play devil's advocate, though, for a second, I kind of think that there would be maybe just a minute amount of hesitation on Mark Hamill's part because of the fact that because the first three were so over-the-top popular and, like, you couldn't swing a dead cat in this universe without hitting five Star Wars things, it really typecast him, and he could not get work doing anything that wasn't, you know, Star Wars related or...
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, they ran the Christmas special with Life Day, not other garbage and stuff. They, you know, it really kind of, like, it's a blessing and a curse. Like, we're going to give you the opportunity to play this character, and you're going to do such an amazing job at it that instead of it helping your career, it's going to pretty much end it right there.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to wait years and years and years.
But it's funny how some of them went on, like Harrison Ford. He yeah. continued to do... movies.
Well, I mean, he had Indiana Jones, you know, Han Solo,
John
Book
from
Witness.
He might not have gone on. Like, if he hadn't been given Indiana
the opportunity.
Jones. Yeah.
So Indiana Jones came out after Star Wars?
Came out 81.
Okay.
I believe 81, 82 was when Raiders came out.
Because Tom Selleck was busy, I believe.
Yeah. Well.
But but again, I kind of feel that their representation of like Han Solo and Princess Leia and all the other like stars, they did a good job of acting.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill created Luke Skywalker. Like, he really, like, watching the screen test of him just sitting down and like they got the script and looking at like the conviction in his eyes when he was like delivering these lines about like, we got to get to Alderaan. Like, we got to do this, we got to do that. And, you know, you could sort of tell like, this guy was going to be something incredible. And if given the opportunity to put that kind of dedication to any other project, he would have done that too. But instead he gets, what, Corvette Summer? Gets him a motorcycle accident, fucks up his face, and then he's, you know, kind of screwed for a while.
Well, and he also, like, picked some really bad roles.
Yeah.
I mean, he was not being offered the choice roles like Harrison Ford, and then he picked some really bad B stuff. The thing that saved Mark Hamill was voice work.
Yeah, you know, and I'd say to a lesser degree, the Wing Commander games.
Yeah.
Where he, and the Guyver. Did you ever see any of those horrible turds? Oh my God, it's just like.
He was only in the first one.
Yeah, but still, you're just like, oh, Luke,
what are you
no.
For
what are you,
was Temple of Doom.
Yeah, so.
No, but Raiders came out 81.
Yeah, so. I would say there might be just a slight hit, but I think enough time has gone by, and he has also, and that's a mark in his credit to be able to be typecast as much as that is, to not just disappear in obscurity, and to find a way to keep your career going, and to create a character like his voice for the Joker, which is, in my mind, is
iconic.
Every bit as iconic as... the original voice actor for Batman from the animated series. Like that, the Bruce and the Batman voices were pitch perfect as far as in my head. That's how I heard it in the comic books. And I couldn't see a better version. And to my mind, all other future Batman after that, people that are voicing those characters, are trying their best imitation at what that guy was able to do with
Kevin
the Batman.
Conroy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic job.
Yeah, he was an amazing Batman. And I find it interesting, too, because I recently got the Batman animated series on DVD. Yeah. I was watching Mark Hamill talk about creating the voices, and I didn't realize he does a lot more voices than just the Joker. I mean, that's what he's known for, but he does a lot of other voices.
So he's like the Hank Azaria of like the Batman world?
Batman, yeah.
That'd be freaking rad.
So, but he's on the... currently, he's on something else on Cartoon Network, The Normal Show. I think that's what it's called.
He plays
a Yeti.
Like you do. That's as far as I would say.
The big question that I'm being asked, like I'm some sort of expert, is if I think they're going to kill off Han Solo. I don't think so. I don't think that he's going to go all three movies.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I could sort of see that. And... That's sort of the thing that you really need to hold together a good franchise. When you lose Ben, when you lose Obi-Wan in the first movie, granted, just because he dies doesn't mean he just goes away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a possibility that he could, you know, get killed off, but maybe alive in flashbacks or have some other kind of ghostly ability where, like, Luke can see him, but nobody else can. And so he's just hanging out in pottery classes and singing, like, Unchained Melody.
Well, my question, or my thought is that this is basically a handing of the torch, a passing of the torch movie. And they've got a very strong new cast. And I think J.J. Abrams even said, like, talking to the original cast and trying to get them back, it's like, look, if you don't want to be part of this, it's totally cool. We'll write you out somehow, you know, and, you know, honor your character. But everyone, like, jumped on board. Like, even Harrison Ford, who is arguably the most reluctant Star Wars player.
Yeah.
Why
is that?
I think he was afraid of being typecast.
He's got so much other, you know, you can't typecast somebody that has that much typecasting in them. You know, like I said, you got the Harrison, you got the Indiana Jones, you got the Han Solo, you got Regarding Henry, where he gets shot in the head and has to learn how to do everything.
But think about it in these terms, in that back in when Star Wars was at its peak between 80 and probably 84.
Yeah.
With Empire and Jedi. He wasn't getting a lot of acting because Indiana Jones came out after Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
So from 77 to 80, he wasn't getting a lot of work. And so, and with Empire coming out, and again, the popularity soars, but he's still not getting anything coming in,
he
could start to hate it. Then he gets Indiana Jones, and then he starts getting stuff coming in,
mm-hmm.
but he feels tied to Lucas because... I mean, even though Spielberg directed Raiders, it was still a Lucas property.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to be fair, he's more than just an actor, too. Mm-hmm. When they found him for Han, he was building sets. He was building scenery.
Yeah.
And they're just like, hey, you with the T-square, want to come over here and try out a couple lines here?
He'd been in another Lucas film before Star Wars, which was American Graffiti.
Oh, yeah. Very good call.
So, I mean, he was an actor and, you know, set builder. And everything he'd done up until after Jedi was all Lucas, you know?
American Graffiti, or as I like to call it, Happy Days the Movie.
It
pretty much should have been Happy Days the Movie.
Happy Days was based on American Graffiti.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of the cast from American Graffiti... Yeah. He's in Happy Days. Or Laverne and Shirley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it was really like a spin-off prequel to like all these other, you know. So that's the genesis. So Happy Days, not so much. American Graffiti is really the core seed that everything else grew from.
But yeah, so I mean, he owes his career to George Lucas.
I'd say, yeah.
And he was on Jimmy Kimmel recently talking about Star Wars. And of course, Kimmel's trying to get stuff out of him and... Harrison Ford is like Fort Knox. Like, he wouldn't say anything. But I was surprised to hear him come out and say, no, this is a good movie, and it was a good decision by me to rejoin this.
But, I mean, obviously, and honestly, how long do we want to watch an aging Harrison Ford run around in his Han Solo outfit and have it still, you know, not detract from, you know, the awesomeness that was, you know...
My thought, as far as Han Solo goes, is if they decide to get rid of him, I don't think they're going to kill him. I think that would be career suicide.
Freeze him in carbonite again?
No, I think they might. I think what they might do is
on Death Star 3.
Have him suffer.
Now with Wi-Fi.
Have him suffer an injury that's bad enough that makes Han Solo go, you know what, I'm too old for this shit.
He's like Captain Pike. He's just basically a wheelchair that just can communicate with bleeps.
I think if they kill off anyone, they'll probably kill off Chewbacca.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
PETA would never allow that to happen. There's just
there's no space, PETA.
People for the ethical treatment of Wookiees. There's no fucking way.
I think that might be the catalyst that would make Han Solo go, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Because I know in the books it just like destroyed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that was Boba Fett that killed off. No.
Django? No. It was no. It wasn't a bounty hunter. It was.
There cancer? Was this new...
so sick. Cancer.
Just sitting there watching him on like the chemo and like his furs, furs falling out
you
in chunks.
You do not want to see a Wookiee without fur. Wookie.
It's worse than the end of Rudy, man.
Was another, it was this other race that were immune to the Force. And they basically destroyed a planet, I think it was, or they dropped a moon on a planet or something, and Chewie basically helped get Han and his kids off the planet and sacrificed himself to save them all.
Oh, Jesus. So,
it was like a pretty fucking good one.
Well, don't combine Dragon Ball Z and Star Wars universes, and you won't have these moons getting dropped on planets shit.
Chewie went Super Saiyan, and he was all gold.
Canada!
But yeah, so anyway, now all it is just it's down to the waiting, and that's the, that's the coolest
part.
Yeah,
we're just over a month.
Yeah.
So.
And it's going to be like, I remember distinctly standing in line for Jedi. That's the only one I can remember standing in line for, and the line was out the door and around the block. It was that long, and this is back in 1980, forget about it.
Well, you're lucky to find tickets now because they're all pre-sold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the pre-sale, after the trailer went, they opened up pre-sale.
Yeah.
And several websites crashed under the weight of it.
I'm just going to say maybe we know somebody in the radio business that can get some of those pre-screener comps that they used to have.
Yeah,
out.
I wish they were doing that.
Yeah, maybe we talk to somebody in the old promotions department.
Once again, I wish they were doing that.
Yeah.
I don't think they're pre-screening it anywhere.
Yeah.
The only one who got a pre-screen that could talk about it is dead now.
Yeah.
So we should all get together, the three of us, when it comes out and sit down in front of BitTorrent and wait 20 minutes after it's done and boom, there's not a problem at all.
I don't know that shows are sold out yet.
I know that there's some theaters that still have some tickets.
Yeah, but I mean, we live in a city where there's like... Yeah, couple hundred theaters. So,
if you want to drive out to Medford or someplace where there isn't quite such a concentration of nerds,
there's some up in Vancouver.
You know, just find some
nerds or theaters.
Both.
There's skittish lots. Easily,
at least earlier in the week, there was at least one theater that still had tickets for Star Wars.
I'm hoping, but I don't think that we're going to get to see it opening day.
No,
no, I don't think so, not either. A chance.
If opening weekend,
yeah.
But we have said that we will not do a show until.
Yeah,
we've seen it.
That's
so
fair. Yeah,
from the week that it comes out until we see it, there will be no Not Another Podcast. And when we come back, it's going to be spoilers.
So prepare yourselves now.
So if the show comes out and you haven't seen it, just save the show until after you see it and then enjoy it.
Yeah,
we will give you ample warning that we're going to talk.
We'll just title it Star Wars Spoilers.
Spoiler Wars.
Yeah.
The episode JJ doesn't want you to hear.
Well, I'm pretty sure the first 15 minutes is just going to be the three of us talking over each other. Like,
yeah.
Oh, God, and then the part of the job, Jesus Christ. Ah!
My hope is we'll get to see it twice before we record it. Because the first time, you know, it's just going to be, you're going to be so much in awe that you're going to miss a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I've already told my wife, and she's okay with it. I'm going to see it like six times in the theater, at least.
You're not going to be the only one, yeah.
No, no.
Or just do what I do. People laughed when I bought Google Glass, and now I'm going to have my little camera on. I'm just going to hit and record. Boom. I don't even have to get a hand cramp holding it up for the 2 hours.
Have you guys heard that theaters are not going to allow people to dress up or bring in any...
What? Oh, because of the fucking... The mental patients coming in, and that's bullshit.
If I was psychotic and wanted to hurt a lot of people, Star Wars would be the movie.
Yeah.
But you'd be hurting people that are dead inside already. Like, it's like shooting dead fish in a very big barrel.
Yeah, but that's a lot of fish.
Yeah, well, fuck, man.
A lot of fish.
You know, and it's a tragedy like that because, I mean, what are the other options? You have police officers, you know, stationed out in front or security guards wandering around.
At every theater.
I remember...
Patting down every stormtrooper comes through.
This movie theater in my hometown in Lancaster, PA, when Ninja Turtles 2 came out, Secret of the Ooze, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'm the only one, like, I'm about maybe 13, 14 or whatever, and so I'm by myself watching a movie, and the theater hired people to dress up like the four Ninja Turtles, Which, if you're going to do that, maybe find a uniform, you know, body shape. Don't have, like, a sickly Michelangelo and, like, a obese Raphael and, like, a elderly and very confused Donatello. Just, like, kind of wondering, like, why do I have... It's more of a cane than a staff. You know, and then the guy came out dressed like Casey Jones, and these little kids, so hilarious, up front, flipped their shit because they're like, it's Jason, because he thought it was Jason. And he's like, no, it's me. He takes his mask off, and the kids freak out even more because he's got the big thing. So he left, and then we were just got like the weird Golden Girls of Ninja Turtles. So awesome. But yeah, it's stuff like that I can kind of see being traumatizing to kids, but you gotta let them dress up.
Yeah.
You know, at least a little bit.
I remember distinctly going to Revenge of the Sith. And,
let's just see Revenge of the Nerds for a second.
Revenge of the Nerds. And
kind of the same.
The Portland chapter of the 501st was there. Stormtroopers and costumes. And, like,
oh, Jesus.
All through the line. And we got there early so we could wait in line and just have a good time. And we're watching people do lightsaber fights and all this stuff. So we were fully entertained for like 4 hours before we got in to see the movie.
Yeah.
And it was pretty badass. But that's like, they're not going to let that happen.
No, which, time. You know, is a massive tragedy in and of itself. Obviously nowhere near as tragic as, say, the stuff that happened in like in Aurora.
Yeah.
For the Dark Knight and everything else. I understand the wanting to keep people safe. But it wasn't costumes that, well, I guess the reason being is people can conceal a weapon,
exactly.
You know, as a blaster, or which, that's a lot of time to, like, retrofit a blaster with, like, a Uzi inside it or some shit, you know, but it just, it feels like, okay, we're going to give you this awesome gift, but, you know, check your imagination at the door and just sit there quietly and enjoy the film.
Well, you know, people would bring their lightsabers and none of that.
Yeah.
The theater that I go up to in Washington, you can dress up. No masks and no fake blasters, but you can bring lightsabers.
Please tell me there's going to be a fat, bald bartender just screaming no blasters when people come walking through to buy their tickets.
You're hired.
Awesome.
Sweet. No blasters. No blasters.
No blasters.
It's not a blaster.
Rito shot first.
My friend doesn't like you.
I don't like you.
I love that Robot Chicken where you actually get the translation of what he says. Just like,
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that at all. This guy does not speak for me.
That was awesome.
I freaking love Robot Chicken. Every time they do Star Wars stuff, it's always like,
they're
just
hilarious.
Great. Emperor getting a call from Vader.
The fuck is an aluminum falcon? So wait, you've been sitting in that thing for, oh man, it must smell like horrible in there, like burnt meat and body odor.
He's crying. I wish you guys could hear this.
Oh, so good. Yeah, but so long story short, this movie cannot get here fast enough, and I'm going to have to seclude myself because it's going to be... Facebook is going to get slathered with shit.
Yeah,
there needs to be a filter you can put on that says, okay, the
no Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's been rough, like, trying to keep myself, like, away from anything other than trailers.
Yeah.
Because you can't really discern a story from trailers. I mean, you can get an idea.
Depending
but
on the movie.
But they've been doing
yeah.
really good with these trailers. Like, I have no idea where the story's going.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a new empire. I know there's these new people and stuff, but I don't know what the plot is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just the genius of JJ and the way he's had these edited together. But a lot of times you can see a trailer and go, oh, okay, I get it. I know what this is going to be. But on top of it, the stuff that's gotten out has been from JJ.
Yeah.
You know, when they were filming and he did that ad for some charity, and he did it in front of the new X-Wing.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like, look what we've built.
Yeah.
Just
it's
in case
full
you
size.
Just in case you don't know, I'm doing a new Star Wars film.
Oh, did I park this here? I'm so sorry.
Well, and then, I don't know if you've seen it, but that video, he's doing the talk and then like one of the new pilots comes around and gets in it. Like he's actually going to fly it away. Yeah. And JJ's just like, yeah, so do this, but you can see in his eyes like,
Let me go kick the tires a couple times.
Yeah. gonna go see. Guys, I left my iPod in the cockpit. I'm gonna.
Well, I do remember too, like seeing something about, you know, when they'd built the Millennium Falcon set, and JJ walking into it and going like, it was like a dream come true, because, you know, growing up seeing the movies and then having the toy, and all you want to do is actually be on board.
Yeah.
And so it's like the first thing I did was say, we're building a Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And if you were in charge of making a Star Wars movie, wouldn't you?
Yeah. No, honestly, that, you know, I would have all the props at my house, like, after, like, my front yard would just be littered.
It's filming wrapped up.
Yeah. Like, you know, I got, like
by a hanger.
How? Put it in there. Seriously, if you were, again, even an extra on the film, wouldn't you take something?
Oh, dude, totally, yeah. They would have to body cavity search me every day I left that place.
Okay, Jim.
I made it really hard for you guys this time.
Why'd you put a bear trap in there?
Security guard's just like, I hate
you. How'd you get the mask up there?
A lot of practice.
All the electronics are still working.
It's all in the deep breathing. And you can relax your muscles enough. Anything's possible.
You just see him walking up to the checkpoint, and you just hear...
Sorry, I got a...
It's not my respirator.
I have asthma in my butt. Butt asthma.
Butsma.
Yeah. Buttsma, yeah.
Asthma.
Asthma.
You know, it's this human atmosphere that I just can't deal with for the most part.
Look, the catering truck just didn't agree with me today.
Yeah. You know, you guys were the ones that decided to have, you know...
tamales.
Day-old sushi, so... Who am I to say no to free sushi, even if it's day-old? So.
The only thing that's going to get me through now is the new Star Wars game comes out next week, Battlefront.
Yeah.
And I will be
incommunicado. Yeah, I figured as much.
Well, it's kind of nice.
I knew we'd
kinda
lead you
out.
To it.
It's,
well, either that or Fallout. Were you much of a Fallout player?
No, Bryce.
I am.
Bryce,
yeah. I'm going to end up picking that up soon, hopefully.
Yeah, it comes out. I've got it pre-ordered. I've got the special edition pre-ordered.
So when we get together to watch the movie, you guys are going to have like beards down to your tits and just like, you know, I haven't seen the sun in like 5 months.
Well, when you guys come over next week to do the podcast, I'll still be on the couch, eyes like dinner plates. And, hi, guys. How's it going?
I haven't blinked in a couple days. Poor Breeze just like putting like Visine in your eyes. Can't blink. Can't blink. That's been
you don't want to sit there. I've been using that cushion for a toilet.
Very absorbent couch you have here. Probably should be burned. Probably burn this thing.
Yeah, you probably can't.
We'll burn it after the movie. We'll watch it as soon as I finish this next level. And the next one. And the next one.
Yeah,
you guys might want to come back next week.
No, the... I can't think of
I got the
a bad
beta
game.
For it, yeah. And it was... there was only two maps, and I only played the one because it was the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty notable because it's the first player versus player where you're getting 40 people. Like, usually they're like between 8, and I think the most, Bryce, is 16. 16 on a player versus...
I think so.
So this is 20 to a side, so it's very much like a real full-on war.
Yeah.
And the beta was Hoth.
Of course, yeah.
And it was... Apparently, it was a very small section of Hoth, because you can go on to...
The food court?
Like... Yeah. You can go on to EA.com, and they've got... You can explore a couple of the worlds and see different areas of the maps.
Yeah.
And as it runs like a movie, but it'll pause and then like freeze frame, and it'll have these highlights that you can click on, and it'll tell you about the guns that you get to use or the different classes of soldier and stuff. But it's also, you can customize yourself.
Yeah.
So you can be one of a couple dozen aliens, all kinds of cool guns. The pre-order, I got Han Solo's blaster.
Nice.
So I'm going to be running around with that. For a while.
Shooting
but also,
first?
Like, yeah, yeah. Everything. If it's Rodian, it's dead. But some of the playable characters are really kind of cool. Obviously, Luke, Han, and Leia. Vader and Boba Fett.
Start a band.
Yeah. They walk into a bar.
They go on tour.
So I'm really excited. And they're focusing on the original trilogy
yeah.
stuff. They're not doing any Clone Wars type stuff, which I kind of feel Clone Wars is really open for a Battlefront type game.
Oh yeah, there could be all kinds of mini games where you're just in the Senate and you have to argue, you know, like
I meant the actual climate wars, reform. Not the But yeah, so it's I'm really excited to check out the other maps and check out more of, because it's not just the player versus player. They got all kinds of stuff going on in there.
I was on YouTube and I got that kind of sucked into a rabbit hole, and because I was watching a bunch of trailers and stuff, and I stumbled across like this massive cutscene for, I think it was Shadows of the Old Republic, one of the newer ones, where it's like
the New Republic game, yeah.
Yeah, with the two sons that are raised together.
Yeah, it's a trailer for it's a trailer for an expansion for the New Republic game.
It's Knights of the Old Republic.
Knights of the Old Republic.
But like just the plot, like just the
yeah, it looked really amazing.
Fucking spotless.
Did you happen to see, this was like pretty big on Facebook a couple weeks ago when the beta for Battlefront was out. Apparently someone was recording themselves playing
the death of Luke Skywalker.
Death of Luke Skywalker. It was brilliant. Squish. He's coming at this guy. This guy's backing up, and Luke walks right under the foot of an AT-AT and just gets squished. And the guy just stops, and the foot lifts up and then comes back down on Luke again. And then it says, like, Luke, 1974 to 2015.
R.I.P., bro. R.I.P. That was fucking hilarious.
The best. Yeah, because the best timing ever.
I had a total like moment of panic where I'm just like, Mark Hamill didn't die.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They click on him, just like, oh, son of a bitch, you got me. Like, that's actually pretty fucking funny.
Yeah,
it was. You were Rickrolled.
There was another one. There was another one where I think it was Darth Vader. It was Luke. The whole team surrounds him and just annihilates him. He's like in a circle, and there's like 15 stormtroopers, and they're all shooting at him, all jumping back as he's trying to swing at him. He just gets overrun. And just,
that's brilliant.
That was pretty funny too.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say the beta was really cool. One of the my favorite things was getting the AT-ST and playing that. Man, once I play it more, I'll be much
Is that the
better.
Chicken Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Scout Walker. It's not as powerful as I would like, but again, it was a beta, so I think they might have fixed stuff. But like when you get in one of those, like everyone on the opposing team will focus fire on you.
Yeah.
And it will take a lot of punishment.
Interesting.
That was kind of nice. Not as much punishment as the AT-AT, because you can be a gunner in the AT-AT.
Oh,
you can't drive it, but you can be a gunner, and I tell you what.
Well, I think driving would be boring as shit, and you'd just be like, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot.
Someone needs to work the back legs!
It's like the dog from Family Guy, like the one that Herbert the Pervert just dragging its little AT-AT legs behind it.
But, The flight controls for the ships, I was not used to, so I kept crashing my ships. But they are very sensitive.
Yeah.
Like, extremely sensitive. So,
like, if you play Tori Amos, it just starts to cry stalls.
And then dives right into a canyon.
Just parks in a very dark area on the ship and just wants to be alone for a while.
It's a really well-balanced game. The beta was. It was really well-balanced in that, like, you know, if someone's in a ship and you've got a rocket launcher and you hit with the ship, the ship's dead.
Yeah.
Which I like, instead of taking like 15 hits before, you know.
Yeah.
But the scout walkers will take a couple missiles before they go down, which is nice. But their guns aren't like super powered. Like if you shoot a group of guys all together, you're probably going to wipe them out. But if it's just one guy, like the splash damage is not like super.
Yeah.
Which I really liked.
And it's a laser.
Unless you're an imagine that, then you're fucked.
Spread the fucking explosion very far.
They there's a section on the map that I played where you go into the hangar on mm-hmm. Hoth. And it's basically what happens is you have to, if you're the rebel side, you have to start up and protect these like transceivers, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
And what those do is they guide in an aerial assault to take out the AT-ATs. And you have, like, so you have to protect it once it's up and running,
mm-hmm.
because then it's like from, you have like 30 seconds to a minute before the assault comes in. So you're fighting off Imperials. But once that assault comes in, that transceiver shuts down and you move to the next one.
Okay.
So it's like there's three, I think there's three of them. So you're basically retreating through the whole thing, which is kind of cool because it's very much like the movie, because the rebels were just basically holding off. Why?
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And it's, you pretty much feel like you're in the movie because it's like you're part of the Rebel Alliance trying to protect your friends and family who are trying to get off world.
Yeah.
While you're fighting this assault, and you're basically pulling back. And the first part is on like this kind of hill that leads up to the hangar. And when you go into the hangar, you can kind of explore the rest of the base, and it kind of pours out into a couple different areas of the map.
Oh, right on.
Which is really cool. Like, yeah. The hangar's pretty big, like the Millennium Falcon's in there, and a couple of X-Wings and some Snowspeeders and stuff. And I get the sense that it's a small hangar.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like there's one door that you can kind of go back out and jump into some of the turrets and stuff. And then there's a longer tunnel that will take you like by the main command center.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up. You can see where Wampas have been through because there's blood on the walls. And then it pours out into like this field, like this flat field with trenches.
Oh, he knows God. You
love that side.
So I can feel trenches in my molars when he does that. My fucking dental work vibrates. It's just like, Jesus.
So it's this great flat field with all these trenches. So you're like hunkering down.
Yeah.
So like, because they're shooting over you, so you're hunkering down and trying to wind through these trenches to get behind so you can shoot people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work. In my case, never works because apparently I have a giant head. But it's really fun. When you come over next week, I'll have it and okay. I'll let you play a few rounds.
Sounds like a blast.
But Bryce, not
see what
so
I did
much.
There? Blaster. Blaster.
Okay. Stop.
Did that. Stop. Right.
Thank you.
Just
stop. Well, Womp Rats.
Away.
You try. Let me get a Papa Bear on you.
Cold dead hands.
I don't have to try. I'll just call my wife to take it from him. Yeah.
You never play fair, do you?
Nope,
you never play fair.
Never. So what else has been going on with you?
I don't know. I've been dealing with depression quite a bit. Like, well, I always have had problems with depression, but it'll flare up every once in a while, and it'll really kind of just overwhelm me, in a sense. This is something that I've dealt with since childhood, you know. It has been something that has been a constant
struggle.
Yeah. And there have been various times where I've taken various medications and like some kind of like mood stabilizers or whatever it is. Basically, I had gone to the doctor once and he gave me this stuff that you'd see on TV, and it basically turned me into a zombie. Basically, I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel good.
Just didn't feel right.
Just didn't feel well, and I didn't think of anything about it at the time. And
a strange hankering for human flesh.
Yeah, you know, it is Brands. Delicious if with the right seasoning. It can be just
some fava beans peak.
And a nice Chianti, or you know, bottom shelf whiskey, whichever is available.
Much the same thing,
you know. But
bottom shelf Chianti.
No, it took Don Frost actually to point out the fact that I needed to stop taking that medication. And I said, you know, I don't understand why. Like, I feel like I'm doing so much better. It's just because I've been trying to pick a fight with you for the past, like, 15 minutes about this thing. And you're coming at me like some fucking hippie at the, like, Oregon Country Fair.
It's all good,
trying
man.
To, yeah, man, hey, man, just, like, I feel good and everything else.
A lot of times with those, it's finding the right medication that works for you as well.
But I think, ideally, what I would want to do more than just treat the symptom is figure out what the problem is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know...
Well, a lot of times, too, it's a chemical imbalance, which is not something that's easily fixable on its own.
You can see the problem
this
in your head.
Dr. Bryce.
Well, he's fucking... He's right. I mean, it's 100%
I mean, there's,
correct.
There's things you can do that definitely help. Like, exercise is a big one that helps with depression.
To look at him.
No, I'm being serious.
Thanks for helping me with that depression problem that, I have, James.
it's something that a lot of people that have depression start doing, and it can help them.
Yeah.
Because it makes you start feeling a little bit better, because one, you feel better.
Yeah.
And two, it helps release endorphins, which make you feel better.
Yeah.
So get off your ass, Jim.
Well,
start jogging.
That's one option. But again, I've done working out. I've done sports. I've done all kinds of stuff. And regardless, my brain works in this weird fucked up way where it's like, even when things are going well, some little seedling
something
that it was from years ago I should just have let go. I don't know how many, years after that, but I just, for whatever reason, will bring it up and it'll just wreck my day, wreck my mood. And I got to fucking force myself back out of that depression. And it's like, you can't ever really enjoy anything. You can't appreciate a situation or have the fun that you want to have in that time. Like for right now, like I just started a new job, just taking care of the household and bills and everything else. Yeah. It's just so much stress on me right now. And I look on Facebook and I see all the cool shit that all my friends are doing and shows are going to do. And I'm like, I got nothing really on the horizon. I had a couple other projects that I was working on that I was really looking forward to that all kind of fell apart at the last minute, mostly because of this new job. So I just started just falling deeper and deeper, and I just wasn't sleeping. Like there was 3 days where I got maybe 3 hours worth of sleep during those days. And like, I just get up the next day and was a zombie for the most part.
Well, getting back to something you said about finding the root of the problem, because like Bryce said, sometimes it is a chemical thing, but sometimes it is a mental thing.
Yeah.
There's something that is bugging you, and all this other stuff is compounded. So you can't get at the root of whatever the problem is.
Yeah.
But if you can like sift through the shit and find the seed of whatever is causing that and take care of that, everything else will fall into place as it will.
See, ideally, I've thought that similar way as well. And I've gone through and analyzed, like not to belabor the point or whatever. And the thing is, whenever I start talking about depression, specifically my depression, it's a very difficult thing to do, because all I hear in my head is, wham, poor is me, here comes the pity party, let's feel bad for him or whatever like that, when in all actuality it's like, this is something that feels like it is killing me. Yeah. for lack of a better term, I have been the subject of abuse since childhood, and it's every kind of flavor that your brain is thinking of right now. I was subject to that. And both at home and at school was worse. I had teachers that not only would allow bullying, but would kind of promote it, at me specifically. Every morning I wake up and just beg my mom not to send me back to that school and let me just stay home. And she said, you have to go to school. And so I was forced against my will to go to this horrifying place, day after day after day. And you start to, go a little crazy. And that's, I think, where my humor kind of started from, was I started to... Like, because I knew I couldn't beat them. I couldn't stop them. The thing I did or said, I tried, let's try being friends, or let's try, fighting back and defending, or standing up for yourself. Nope, that didn't work either. So all I did eventually was I just started to cut myself down better than they could. So I figured if I could, if someone's going to come up and mug you, and you stand there in front of them and you slit your own throat, they're like, wow, I can't do anything to this guy. He's got me beat. And
I was the same way. Yeah.
I thought that was kind of like a form of acceptance. Like, oh, they're like, oh, okay, well, he's one of us now. Like, no, really all that did was condition me into thinking that I was less than a person.
Yeah.
Less than one of them. And I now am accepting it and understanding it. And to this day, it's something that the rational side of your brain is beating itself against your skull, because it's like, this isn't true. But your emotional side is just like, no, this, you got to put a little credence to that.
The three of us in this room are very self-deprecating people.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful that while you're self-deprecating, you're not actually abusing yourself.
Yeah.
It's a fine line to walk. And I've gone to the other side of that where, I've put myself down so much that I actually start to believe that sort of thing. You have to be really careful with that, because it does lead to, some pretty serious psychological problems if you let it.
No, I had to go see the school psychiatrist, Ms. Patterson, during my recess break, of course. So I got to sit in a little trailer in the parking lot watching all the kids play, and I got to do these stupid fucking exercises and talk about my feelings. to her about all of that, and it really didn't do me a whole lot of good, just in the sense that she'd ask me, like, you know, so how do you feel about your sense of self-esteem or whatever? I'm like, what is that? And I wasn't being funny. I was like, I honestly don't know what you mean by self-esteem. She's like, well, how do you feel about yourself? I'm like, I feel like I'm a piece of shit, because that's all I'm being told from every possible angle. And after a while, you kind of start to believe that. And so rather than reassure me, she's just like, well, I'll think of some things that you can do that'll like maybe help along those lines. And so she had suggested that I start taking martial arts, which I did. I studied this style that for a while back in Lancaster. And I was accused of bullying kids outside of class from another student there who was a notorious compulsive liar. But the guy that was running the class was like, I can't take the risk of, you know, being associated with somebody who's training people that is going on, basically cranking out thugs to pick on little kids. So I was kicked out of martial arts through no fault of my own. I mean, you know me. I'm not the kind of guy that wants to go around and start some shit. You know, and I've always been that way. Like, if anything, I had to be the guy that's like trying to protect other people. But like, and that was another one of those things where, you know,
and it's too easy for, like, just take one side of the story without getting the other
side. Yeah, the kid that was accusing me was a little guy, and I'm a big fucking bruiser-looking kid, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I took that, you know, to heart as well. I'm just like, why is it anytime something good starts happening in my life, something bad is right around the corner, so don't really enjoy it for what it is, because the higher expectations you get, the farther you have to fall. So expect the worst. If anything positive happens, it's a delightful surprise.
Yeah.
And that's a horrible mindset to have, because like I said, you never enjoy anything, you never appreciate anything, and you're just basically stuck kind of existing. And, you know, I get terrified about, you know, what kind of father I'm going to be for my daughter. You know, I get terrified in, like, you know, what happens if I die before she is, you know, old enough to be able to take care of herself, and what that's going to do to her. And it's like this endless cycle of weird shit that just keeps tearing my head apart. And I can't, like I say, I couldn't get to sleep for a couple of days because of all this stuff. And it's maddening. It really is. Like, you know, it gets hard to focus on anything else. And I got so many other things, positive things, that I have to stay focused on now more than ever. And it's just, it becomes this thing that's so overwhelming after a while. You know, it's like you're just sort of standing back, and you start detracting from stuff. You start withdrawing from stuff, you know, and, you know, you just start to over-medicate. Like, my first, you know, drug of choice, I would say, would be junk food. You know, as a little kid, it was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and Doritos. And then...
Tasty combo.
Yeah, absolutely. It was dinner and dessert. But...
sandwiches.
Yeah.
Then after a while, it graduated into cigarettes and alcohol and everything else. And It is very much a thing where at first it's something that's giving you some sense of enjoyment, but eventually it's just there to sort of numb it.
Yeah,
numb it becomes an escape.
Yeah, and that's really kind of where most of the things that I do to myself, which are bad, are sort of stemmed from. And I know these things. It's like I've got in my head. I know all. I could, you know, recite to you chapter and verse all the things that happened to me, and the ways around them I tried to find, you know, the school stuff and everything else. When I got to high school, I was terrified because all the kids from all the elementary schools that I'd been a part of were from St. Anthony's and St. Joe's and Resurrection, were all getting filtered into Lancaster Catholic High School. So I'm like, I was having a hard enough time trying to deal with one classroom full of kids that were making my life a living hell at a time. Now I got three. That's completely unfair. But by the time freshman year came around, I was already on the football team. And so I had pull with them. And so you're not going to fuck with a jock, because jocks got, like, you know, you fuck with one of us, you fuck with all of us kind of a thing. But, and I started to see that all those kids, a lot of those kids that mocked me and made fun of me, were now kind of like lost in high school, because they had their little cliques. Their cliques kind of dissolved when they got to high school, and now they're kind of by themselves. And I saw the opportunity to sort of make their lives a living hell, but I'm just like, I know what that feels like. I know what that does to someone's head. Yeah. So I'm not going to be that person to them.
And in high school, it's really compounded.
Yeah, because you're such a raw nerve when you're in high school, because it's everything is the best day ever, or the worst thing that has ever happened to anybody ever. So, you know, I made the decision to be better than what they were to me in that capacity. You know, but ultimately, like, you know, you deal with that. And then when I dealt with the loss of my father, it's just like it's been a very dark ride for the majority of these 39 years that I've been on planet Earth. But, you know, you got to laugh to keep from going crazy. And sometimes that laughter kind of bleeds over into the crazier side. You know, you kind of get like that gallows humor because that's really all you kind of see day in, day out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they, you know, the cliche saying is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And Jim, I'm here to tell you, from the time that I've known you, I've seen you go through some shit. And you're seriously one of the strongest people I know.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it.
Well, of course not. You're not.
It never feels like it when you're going through it. But when you're able to look back at it and say, "Hey, I overcame this."
The part of my head though that it will that should be there, that program that should be hardwired into that bloatware, so to speak, only comes up with, "Well, you could have done it this way. You could have done it better. You could have done, you know."
Well, then it's a good thing you got Bryce and I on your side.
Yeah,
which
we'll keep you straight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Straight-ish.
Yeah. Either way, like honestly, like things like this are the thing that I look forward to more than anything else. Is this little time away where we can just sit in a room and just bullshit with one another, make each other laugh. Like that. These are things that you kind of live for.
I guess this is a bad time to tell him that we're going to go in a different direction.
Great. Bringing in Fat Boy, are you? Well, good choice. You know, if you're
going
to go
we're going more CNN style. We're okay, be just on the streets,
straight news, and you know, Democrat backing stories and
no comedy whatsoever.
None.
Totally serious. I can't even say
that. I can't do it. It hurts my soul.
Yeah.
No, seriously, Jim. Yeah. When we decided to bring you in, it felt like a natural move. You were on the show so much, and we always have a much better time when you're on the show. And
thank
even
you.
Shows like this, where it's like we're having a good time, but then we kind of take a turn for the serious.
Yeah,
I think it makes us more genuine as a show. I mean, stuff like this shows that we're not just a bunch of chuckle nuts just trying to get a laugh or anything.
People.
I mean, we're people, and we're having an honest conversation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome, and thank you for the time, man. Seriously.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anytime. So, we'll do it again next week.
All right. It'll be another bottle of whiskey then, because I get... I go with the standard 4 birthdays per year rule. It's all in the month of November. So
check your contract.
Okay. It's around here somewhere. Oh, it's written on the back of the receipt from the liquor store. Okay. It says, fuck you. This is it. May the force be with you.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.